First of all, I apologize for the horrible quality of your study guide. I was having a couple of things. I sent out an email. I always try to give you these study guides via email ahead of the Bible study so that you can follow along at home. But I was having difficulty with the saved document that I had before I sent it to you. I could not get it to send the document correctly, so I had to take one that I had printed and scan it, and it was a horrible copy. And in addition to that, I was just shown tonight that I failed to sign off on my email. I didn't put a closing there telling you that I love you or wishing you well or anything and signing my name. I think I was so frustrated. I think I was frustrated because I was having trouble getting this document, but as you know, if you've been listening to Moments of Hope, I was also frustrated with our current government and lying to us and all those kind of things and giving us bad information and so it was kind of a bad time, so I apologize for that. But I hope you printed one off. Let's get into that now. We finished up talking about the Passover last week, and I appreciate so much. I had many emails, many comments, text messages about that, and I'm glad that it was God just did an incredible job with the Bible, didn't he? I said God did an incredible job with the Bible, didn't he? I should hear you all from home saying amen on that. Listen, God's pretty good at what he does. I don't know if you knew that. God's really good at what he does. And when it comes to him putting together the word of God that we possess, it is a remarkable, remarkable thing, and there's no doubt that it comes from him. And so I'm glad that you enjoyed that as well. Tonight, I want to talk about something, and I won't say the name of somebody, but one of our dear beloved members sent me a message a couple days ago and basically asked me a question, which kind of spurred, I was going to go a different direction, but I feel like what we're going to talk about tonight is very, very important for the next few weeks. Here was the question the person asked me. They said, Pastor, tell me how I'm supposed to do this thing of giving it to God. Now, I've made comments about that expression before that I honestly, I have no idea what that means. Every time I've tried to give something to God that I didn't want, he says, I don't want it either. So I don't know what they mean by that, but I know what he was asking. What he was asking was this. He was basically saying, how do I trust God in all this? How do I trust God? I don't have any income. I don't have this. I've got a family member who's very, very ill, and I cannot help this person, and I can't go do this. And life looks pretty bleak. And he was basically saying, look, I believe he's a lot like that father. You remember that story of that father whose son had a spirit within him, and it would throw him in the fire and all those kind of things. And the father came to Jesus one day, and he said, Jesus, my son here is often taken by this spirit. He said, I brought him to your disciples, and they tried to heal him. And what happened? They failed. They couldn't do it. And you know the story, don't you? You know the story. And so they said, he said, if you can do anything, help my son. And Jesus said, if you believe, then I will. You know, it's kind of this back and forth. And the man made one of the most beautiful and real statements in all of Scripture by someone talking to Jesus. And what he said was this. He said, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Or he said, basically what he said was, Jesus, I believe the best I can. I believe the best I can. But it's not like Moses. It's not like Noah. You know, I'm not like Abraham. You know, and I think Jesus was, his message back to that man was, you don't have to be them. You don't have to be Moses. He was a different person. He said, what belief you can possess, if you'll put it in me, that's what will heal your son. And we see that ends up what happening. And Jesus went on to teach his disciples about it. He said, your problem is you haven't been fasting. And so he said, this kind comes only by prayer and fasting. But that was a whole different lesson. Now, that was the conversation I had via phone with this man in our church that I love very, very much, and he's hurting, and he's probably listening tonight, and I hope you're listening tonight, buddy. And so I want to try to teach a little bit about this thing of faith. What is faith? There's some big words in Scripture. Now, I'm not talking about, what was that, Diane? What were we talking about last? Maher Shalah Hashabaz or something like that? Whatever that word was. I don't mean big, long words like that. I mean big words that are used all the time in Scripture. Words that when you think of the Bible, you think of religion, you think of Christianity, they're the words we all talk about. So what are the common words? Just things like grace. things like love, things like, hope. And then tonight, though, I think one of the biggest ones would be the word faith. I mean, we talk about faith all the time, right? We talk about sharing your faith. We talk about defending the faith, standing in our faith, and all those kind of things. And so the word faith is kind of it's one of the big words in Scripture. But I just want to ask you a question right from the beginning. And those of you that are at home, if you want to weigh in by typing, Matt will relay your answers to me if it fits in here. I know we got a little bit of a delay at home. But what is faith? If I ask you, if somebody came up to you and said, hey, you keep talking about faith. Dave, what is faith? Okay, and that sounds a lot like the verse we're going to look at. So being sure of what you hope for. I like that part. In other words, you know what you hope for, but he didn't say being sure something's going to happen. He said being sure of what you hope for. Okay, who else? Who else has got a definition? Yeah, Doug, how would you define faith?
My daughter.
Your daughter, yeah.
I have faith, I guess, every day. Like in my job, I have to.
What does that mean? You can't use the word faith in your definition of faith, though. He said, I have faith in my guys. That's what faith is. No.
I have trust.
You have trust. Trust is a good word. I can live with that. So you're saying when you have faith in your guys, you trust them to do what they are supposed to do.
Yeah.
Or maybe what they say they will do. Okay. Who else? What's the definition of faith? Go ahead.
A belief in what you can't see.
A belief in what you cannot see. Okay. Go ahead. We got somebody at home?
Sherry Hedges says, believing what you cannot see.
And Sherry Hedges.
And the Sorrells say, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
Well, leave it to Tony to quote a Bible verse instead of giving me a real answer. Which is good. That's really good. Sherry, your answer was the same as Roy.
He had put down Hebrews 11:1 earlier,
yeah,
and that kind of stuff.
All right.
Obviously part of our study guide. So
that's good. Go ahead. All right, Laura, did you want to say something?
Yeah, I think, to me, I've thought about this since 6:00 this morning.
Okay. She thought about it since 6:00 this morning.
Faith is believing a truth that I can't prove.
Ooh. Hold on. She says it's believing a truth that she can't prove except... Okay. Sitting on the porch this morning doing your devotions.
Yeah, the wind's blowing. I can't really see the wind.
Okay, she said the wind was blowing and she can't see it,
no,
but you know it's there.
I can see things moving.
Okay, you can see the effect of it. We'll get to that.
How can I really prove it was wind? Because I was told
it was wind. Yeah, that's great. She said, I can't prove it's wind. But I've been told that it's wind, and I see the result of it. I see how it moves things. Okay, great. We'll come back to that. Anybody else real quick before we move on here? Okay, so what the reason I want to talk about that is very oftentimes these big words in Scripture, words like faith, words like grace, words like love, they're big words, but they also have very broad meanings. And they can be defined in a lot. We had a lot of different definitions in here. A lot of people would come up with different ideas and say, well, this is what faith is, and this is how I see faith. And they could all be right because they're maybe attacking a certain piece of what faith really is. So defining a word like faith can be very, very difficult. I want to give you an illustration of something else here. But the unbelieving world probably also has a definition of what faith is. Do you know anybody who's a skeptic about the Bible? Who's maybe a skeptic, maybe a disbeliever or an unbeliever, they don't believe. They're going to have an idea. They're going to define faith as maybe something that is just, well, it's just, you just believe in something you can't see. Believe in something you can't prove. Faith is nothing more than you just believe in something because you need to. There's a lot of that out in our world, isn't there? But that's not what faith is, which we're going to see here in just a minute. So tonight, as we talk about what faith is, I want to kind of put the word faith and really sort of break it down here in just a minute. I think it's a lot like it's a lot like some other words. Let me give you some other words that are very difficult to define without using the word. For example, does anybody have a good definition for light? Yeah. So now, all right, hold on now, Leah. I knew somebody was going to say that. So now would you please define darkness for me? Yeah, the opposite of light. You see, and that doesn't work, and that's circular reasoning. Yeah, and it's hard to define light without using the word light, isn't it, Dave?
One thing I can say is the scripture is all good things come from the Father, from the heavenly light.
Correct, and that's a verse with the word light in it, yeah. But it's hard to define what light is. It's hard to define time. Can you define time for me? Give me a definition of time.
Simply a measurement.
A measurement. It is. The only good definition I've ever heard of time, it's funny you say that, interesting, I've never heard anybody start with that until tonight, is it's a measure of decay. That's kind of what time is. You know, we were born. Yeah, I'm in a 55-year process of decay. I mean, that's really the only measure. That's the only way to define time. It's hard to define time. It's hard to define all of these kind of words. It's hard to define death. All right, what is death other than the absence of life? You know, so here's my point. Words like death and light and darkness and all those things. Those and faith, those are words that we all kind of have a pretty good idea of what it is, but it's hard to verbalize it. It's hard to put it into words. But probably everybody in this room and everybody listening at home, you got a pretty good idea of what faith is, yes? But it's hard to put it into words. And so tonight, I really want to take a look at the words and what the Bible has to say about faith. And I feel like a good way to figure out what faith is would be to find a verse that says, now faith is. Does anybody know a verse like that? I think that'd be a great place to start. So how about if we go to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 1, and we find, now notice, we're going to spend a little time on this verse. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, as we go to break this verse down, I want to talk about, there's a couple of contrasts in this verse. I want you to notice there's a contrast between the tangible and the intangible. Notice in the very first part of this verse, now faith is the substance, right? Substance is a tangible thing. It's a physical thing. So we've got a physical component here. It's the physical of things hoped for. Hope is an intangible, yes? Hope is one of those things. It's not a physical thing. It's not a tangible thing. So we have this contrast. We have a contrast of, we have something that is physical, and then it is linked to something that is not physical. So there's a physical component or a tangible component. There's an intangible component to it. Notice, let me illustrate, in a different way. You know, for example, there are physical, tangible marriages in this room, right? We have a married couple right here, Ben and Leah, and my wife and I. We have a physical, tangible marriage, but there's coming a marriage that we just studied in the book of, as we were studying Passover, about something in the future that's not tangible yet. Do you follow me? So the marriage that we have here, this thing that we call marriage here on earth, is a physical example. It's a physical symbol of something that is going to happen in the future that's not physical yet. It's something hoped for. Right? Do you follow me? It's something that we're hoping for. We believe it's going to happen, and we use the physical example we have in front of us as a reason or a part of our belief. In other words, one of the reasons I believe that someday I will be married to Jesus, as awkward as that feels to say that, but the reason I believe that is because he gave us something that I can understand what marriage is. I know what it feels like to have my heart connected to another heart. I know what it feels like to have my spirit connected to another spirit in a very deep, deep, abiding love. And so God says, now that is what you use to believe and understand that someday you will feel that same kind of a connection with me. And so that's what we mean by the tangible and the intangible. I notice the second contrast here. The second thing we want to look at in this verse is there's a contrast of visible with invisible. Notice the second part of it. He said, so faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, evidence is something that is visible, yes? You have visible evidence. You'd be hard-pressed to go into a courtroom. Robert Owens isn't here tonight. Robert Owens is an attorney here in our church. He'd be hard-pressed to go into a courtroom and say, if I have this evidence that this person is guilty, and he goes, turns to the jury, he said, no, the problem is you can't see it. It's invisible, right? You cannot have invisible evidence. So it's the evidence, or in other words, it's something that is evident because you can see it, of things not seen. Those are the things that are invisible. So you get the idea. You know, again, our marriages, you know, my marriage with my wife, it's visible. You all can see it. But we can't see this marriage we're going to have someday to the Lamb of God. Do y'all follow me with that? So we have these two components, and that's where we then come to this thing where I say, you know, right off the bat here, we have to understand that any definition of faith. Now, we had a lot of great definitions in this room, and I'm not taking anything away from anything anybody said. But any true definition of faith, if we're really going to understand what faith is, it's got to include both physical and or both tangible and intangible. There has to be something tangible connected to something that's intangible. There also has to be something that's visible connected to something that's invisible. So when we go to start thinking about what faith really is, it has to have all of those components. Now, it's interesting that unbelievers or skeptics, if they were to look at us, they would probably think we just have this blind faith in something we can't see, right? That's what we talked about. Well, that's a part of faith, but understand, that's not all of faith. You know, one of the things that we talk often about here, and I've been, you know, in this whole series on Sunday mornings, and I've been talking about why it matters. You know, we have very, very good reasons, even scholarly reasons, to believe that Jesus rose from the dead. Now, why is that? Because the Bible says so? No, the Bible does say so, and it's all true. But that's not why somebody who's not already a believer in the Bible would believe it, but they can believe eyewitness accounts. And again, let me illustrate it this way. Do we all believe that there was something called a Revolutionary War at one time in America's history? Yes or no? Were you there? Laura, I think you're the oldest person here today. You weren't there, were you? Now, John Skeens was there, all right, but nobody else was. And look, but see, we weren't there. So how do you know what happened? Diane, how do you know what happened? How do you know there really was? How do you even know there was really a George Washington? It's in the history books. And how do you know those history books? You see what I'm saying? We go back, there were eyewitnesses that recorded and wrote things down, yes? And we don't doubt that, do we? We don't doubt that there was somebody named Plato or Aristotle or that there were pharaohs, because someone took the time to write those things down. And that's why we can have some pretty solid belief that Jesus rose from the dead and so forth. So you get the idea there. The point is, there is some tangible or some physical beginnings of what we call faith. It's not just a blind faith. So as we begin to talk about it, we need to keep that in mind. Now, and by the way, those same skeptics that would say we just have this blind faith, and I've had, oftentimes the word faith gets pitted against science, which I really hate, because the word science just simply means to study something. That's all it means. It just means to study something. You can make a science of the Bible, by the way. It's hard to do this when there's not a lot of feedback. I keep waiting for one of you from home to say something. But it's call in, do something, get outside and bang a pot or something on, you know, like, did you used to do that when you were a kid? I'm totally off track. Never mind. You know, on January the 1st, didn't you used to do that when you were kids? Oh, you're not old enough. Who's old enough to? Did you go out and bang pots and pans? You did that? Yeah, that's what I thought. I'm not crazy. So anyway, this thing of faith. This thing of faith. So these skeptics would say that they believe only in things they can see. You can have these people who say, I only believe in things I can see, I only believe in things I can test, and I can reproduce the results and all those things. Well, that's not exactly true. As Laura said, you can't see the wind, but you can see the effect of the wind. You can't see gravity, but you can feel the effects of gravity if you want to test it. And so on. We'll come back to that here in just a little bit. Now, So I would like to propose tonight, now this is kind of where I want to spend the next 30 minutes. I want you to weigh in and help me with this. But I'd like to propose tonight that faith really is not a religious word at all. Faith doesn't have to be, it is definitely a key component to our beliefs as Christians. But it's not really a Christian word. It's not a religious word. Faith is a, I'll get into it here in just a minute. But it isn't anything religious. Everybody has faith in something. Everybody has faith in something. What does it mean to have faith? Well, everybody in this room, you exhibited faith in the chair you're sitting in. You did. And, you know, you exhibited faith in your car before you got here. You know, when you went out and turned that key, you never had any doubt that it was going to start. Well, some of us. Keith, I don't know, that van is... But my point is, there is no question. Everybody has faith in something. Now, let me illustrate for a minute. I want you to imagine something for a minute. This is an introductory lesson, so bear with me. We'll get to some more scripture here in just a minute, but this is really, really important for us to get the right mindset. Because people struggle with the word faith. They struggle with verses like this. They struggle with this whole chapter. In fact, Hebrews chapter 11, if you're familiar with it, this is called the Great Hall of Faith, some people call it chapter. By faith, Abel. By faith, Noah. By faith, Moses. By faith, Abraham. You know, it's all these big names in Scripture, and we think, well, faith is all about those guys. Where does it come in play for me? What does it mean to me? What does it mean to a guy like Keith or Roy or Joe, these self-employed guys, you know, whose income has been completely wiped out? I mean, we're talking about good business people that are hardworking and doing everything right and serving God, and now suddenly, how does it work for them? How does it work for those of you at home? How does it work for all of us here? So when we talk about this, I want you to imagine for a minute, and we'll just use the timely crisis here. I want you to imagine you've been diagnosed with this COVID-19, and you're sick. You're not feeling well, and you're getting worse. Your breathing's hard. Now, what do you do? What is the course of action that you can take? Talk to me. You know, if you Google, you got to go to the hospital maybe, go to a doctor. If you Google treatment for COVID-19, you know what you're going to find? Nothing. Nothing. But there are some options, yes? So if you were diagnosed with that, what you would do is you would do some research. You would go out, you would research everything you could. You would talk to the doctors, you'd talk to the professionals, you'd read, you know, you'd read the CDC's guidelines, and don't pay a lot of attention to that either. But, you know, you'd start reading a lot, you'd read everything you could, and you would investigate all the different possibilities, all the experimental drugs, everything, right? That's what you do, because you're afraid you're going to die. Then you have to choose something, right? I mean, at some point you have to say, okay, I choose this one. Are you with me? Now, when you choose that one and then you act on it, what are you doing? You're putting your faith in that method of treatment. You're saying, I don't know that this is going to save my life, but this seems to be the most likely best choice for me. Are you with me? That's what faith is. Faith is when you do the research and you examine all the possibilities and you decide, this is the choice that I'm going to make. It's probably life or death, but I have to choose something. I'm going to put, it's kind of like what I talked about on Sunday. It's the horse you bet on, right? If you've got this virus, you're going to choose a horse to bet on. If you're thinking about your eternal life, you're going to choose to place your faith somewhere. And the same thing then applies, though, in the rest of our lives. So that's what faith is. You know, the point is, we already possess faith. Listen, if you're sitting at home, you say, I just don't have any faith, Pastor. You do have faith. It's not a question of do you have faith, it's a question of where are you placing it. It's a question of upon whom are you placing your faith. So when we start talking about faith, that's really kind of what we're, you know, what we're talking about. You know, Christians and non-Christians really are doing the same thing. They're just simply deciding where they're going to place their faith. And, you know, in fact, let me just say this based on my message on Sunday, and then we'll get into specifics about this tonight. So what I was talking about on Sunday was, you know, if somebody who's a follower of Jesus Christ and somebody who's not a follower of Jesus Christ, we're doing the same things. We're all basically operating under the assumption we are putting our faith in the fact that there's an afterlife and that there's a God of that afterlife. Somebody who is not a follower of Jesus Christ, they may be saying, well, I don't think there is a God, and therefore I'm going to live this way, but they're still putting their faith in something, right? Everybody has faith they put somewhere, and we'll come back to that point here in just a little bit. So why is there so much difficulty in verbalizing what faith is? And here's our discussion then for the rest of the evening. Because some things are easier than other things to put all of our faith in. Let me give you an illustration here with a couple of scriptures. I'm going to put two scriptures on the board here. I want you to look at both of them. We're going to read both of them. And then I want you to tell me, those of you at home, I want you to weigh in. You feel free to type in your answer, but I want you to think before you answer. But consider these two verses and tell me, which one do you think is easier to put your faith in? You ready? Here we go. First is Romans chapter 10 and verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That is a salvation verse. Okay? The second one is this. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. That's Philippians 4:19. Now, what's the difference between these two verses? Well, the first verse is a salvation verse. It's the verse that tells us if we will accept Jesus Christ as our Savior and call on him, he will save us. The second verse says that God will supply all of our earthly needs right here, right now.
Where does it say earthly?
That's a good point. You're right. Okay, so this is where we're going
to
weigh in. So those of you at home, you can't hear this. So what Ben said was, where does it say earthly? And it's true, it doesn't say earthly. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. Now, point very well made, that could be talking about heavenly needs or spiritual needs, but do we also not have needs here? Because didn't Jesus say in Matthew 26, somewhere in there, didn't he say, my God already knows what you have need of? So very good point. There is heavenly, he could be talking about that. But if we assume that he's also then talking about all of our needs, which it says, all of our need, and that may be where your point is better made, is that singular need. But here's the point. Let's just assume for a minute that this is talking about earthly needs. Which one of these is easier for us to put all of our faith in? Just think about it for a minute. Is it easier to trust God to save our soul? Or is it easier to think about him meeting my needs here? Is it easier to think about my rent next month being met? Dave?
All I can say is the old saying, it's easier said than done.
What do you mean by that? He said it's easier said than done. Okay, so you're saying, so what are you answering? Are you saying that the first one is easier to believe, put your faith in? Okay, well, you're going to have to answer my question. I asked you first. Which one? Pick one. Which one's easier? Which one's easier? And again, we're making an assumption here that we're comparing heavenly things, you know, needs. We're talking about earthly needs here. Rent, food, shelter. We got somebody at home. Go ahead.
Sure, that just says Romans is easier to believe because it's easier to think that being saved is true than my needs being met when I am struggling financially or emotionally.
Okay, so Sherry is kind of weighing in saying, yeah, it's easier to think that I'm saved and I'm going to go to heaven and put my faith in that than it is that I'm going to have enough money next week. Go ahead, Leah.
So it's not only talking about salvation, but it's also talking about all of our other needs, which makes
right.
that harder because it's more.
Okay, so it's a bigger issue. Yeah, and that's a good point. Yeah, that need. Yeah, I'm seeing now, Ben, I'm really stuck on this now. Now my mind is, you've totally got my mind captivated by that, by your point. Yeah, so it's all encompassing.
Yeah,
okay. Okay, so you would also say that this verse in Philippians is a little tougher to put all of our faith in. Okay, I think there's a good reason for that. What else? Who else? Somebody, I thought I saw another hand.
Well, another verse that kind of ties in with this that comes to me is all things work together for the good
of God. Romans 8:26. All things work together for them, all things work together for good to them that love God and who are called according to his purpose. Yeah, you got to say it. I have to start it from the beginning. It's like, I'm not even sure I could do the alphabet if I started with M. You know, I have to start at the beginning. So explain that.
All these physical things that we can see, which are temporal, mm-hmm. all that we cannot see are eternal. So all these things that he puts about our existence are all designed to get us to a certain point at a certain time all the time.
So you're saying all the physical things here are really have a purpose that are pointing to something that's much bigger, much more important.
Right.
Okay.
So these physical needs that we have, exercising our faith, you know, it's like lifting a weight.
Oh, that's the end of the lesson. You're ahead of me. No, you're good. You're good. No, I love that. I love that. But you're ahead of me. Yeah, you've skipped ahead, which is good. That's where we're gonna land. Go ahead. Do you want to say something? Hey, Doug, what do you think?
Kind of like building off what Leah said. To have your soul saved my soul. That's like, all right. Well, your soul can't pay the rent. Your soul can't go buy groceries.
Right. Your soul can't pay the rent. Can't buy groceries and all that. Yes. So you're saying it's easier to believe that God has saved you,
yeah.
and that's kind of done, than it is to believe that God is going to meet your needs next month, next year, your physical, your financial, your health, all those other needs that we have. Okay, I think there's a good reason for that. I think that's kind of that's kind of the consensus there. Now, for if there are any ultra spiritual people out in the crowd who are saying, oh, you know, those are both the same for me. You know, I just trust God totally. They're all the same to me. I feel that God can meet all, can honor every verse here on earth as well as he can in heaven. Well, I have one for you then. How about this? How about this next one? How about Luke chapter 17? Try this one then and tell me how it works out. And the Lord will say, if you had faith as the grain of a mustard seed, that you might say unto this sycamine tree, be plucked up by the root and planted in the sea. Now, go ahead and do that. Love to see you do that one. So, obviously, there are some places we can place our faith, even in Scripture, that are easier than other places. I mean, has anybody ever done this, by the way? Anybody ever ordered a mountain to cast itself into the sea? I didn't think so. And don't do that, by the way, because the mountains are awesome. Let's keep the mountains where they are. But there's some things about faith. And Jesus said here, if you had faith as a grain of a mustard seed. Now, there's a whole different lesson here. I believe he was teaching that mustard seed has to grow before it can, the birds can lodge in it, right? It starts off very, very small. But anyway, the point is, it's easier to place our faith. So this is a blue-collar, bottom-shelf discussion about faith. Okay, we're talking about faith where we all live. That's where I want this to go in the next few weeks. And that means we have to talk about, what this really means. So can we go back to those other two verses then? So why is it then? Why is it easier to trust God to take your soul and keep it safe and know that he is going to keep us saved? As he promised that he would. Jesus said, you're in my hand. God's got his hand over that. John chapter 10, 27 through 29. He said, nobody can get you out of my hand. How is it easier for us to believe that God can save our soul, put our faith there, than to trust him that he will help me have groceries next week, have work next week, have a way to, take care of my family a month from now? Why is that easier, Leah?
Because the one thing you feel like you can do something about yourself,
and the other one you can't. And that's a great point. So what Leah said was, the one, which I mean, you mean salvation,
you
can't do anything about. You got no part in it. I mean, really, it's all God. It's all Jesus. On the other hand, supplying all of our needs, he may not want that to be all him.
Well,
if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. You know where that's found? 2 Timothy or somewhere? I think it's in 2 Timothy, actually. No, I was thinking of if a man doesn't, he's considered worse than an infidel. Worse than an infidel. Go ahead. I wish you all could hear Laura. I can't say it like she says it. I mean, yeah, she said, God will supply our needs, but he doesn't want us to sit at home and do nothing. He wants us to get out there. That's right. You know, and again, this is a lot like what I teach here often, and I try to help. And you'd be surprised how many times people will turn me off in counseling, when they say, "Oh, you know, Pastor, I need to get a job and I need this," and I say, "What are you doing?" "Well, I'm praying about it." "Okay, what else are you doing?" "Well, I'm just praying about it." "Well, wait a minute. Jesus said, ask and you shall find, seek and it shall be open unto you, or you shall find, and knock and the door shall be open unto you." Yeah, there were three parts to that. He said, you know, you pray, yes, but then you get online and you apply. Then you go knocking on doors and you say, "Give me a job," and all those things. You know, so there is a component. The reason that it's harder for us to put our faith in a verse like Philippians 4:19, if it's talking about just earthly things, is because we know that we're involved. We know we've got a part in it. Go ahead.
Well, and our definition of our need is different than God's definition of our need.
And I think that we worry about that too, don't we? Because notice, he didn't say, "My God shall supply all your needs and wants." You know, we know that there's some definition in there about what a need is as opposed to a want, and, you know, and all those things. So there's some, I want to kind of summarize it this way if you want to fill in your study guide here. So, you know, faith involves some physical and some non-physical. Remember that. We were talking about that earlier. Anytime we're going to talk about faith, there's a physical part and then there's a non-physical part. There's a visible part and an invisible part. Salvation, on our end, is basically, there's very little physical, yes? I mean, in fact, there's none. Other than humbling ourselves and praying and asking Jesus to forgive us, the work was all done by him. The physical part was done first, and it was done by him. The later part, then, it's kind of easier to believe in something that is not going to happen right away, too. You know, if I said to you, how many of you believe that Jesus is going to return? Raise your hand. Amen. How many of you believe he's going to return tonight? See, it's easier to believe in something. Well, that's true. That's true. Which scripture? He said, according to scripture, it won't be tonight. Oh, okay. He's going to split the eastern sky. We know that much. And then we could get into all kinds of things. Is it going to be daytime in Jerusalem or here? Well, you know, that's it. That's it. And we're going to be able to know who that is. And that may happen here real soon. And or maybe a woman. No, never mind. I'm talking about the man of sin, the man of perdition. What were we talking about here? Now you really got me off track, Ben. So salvation was all Jesus and it was done first. So it's much easier for us to believe in something we can't see based on something that he already did. You follow me? That's not a hard amount of faith to have, but it's much harder to believe that God is going to supply all of our physical needs, all of our mental, emotional, earthly needs here in the near future because you know that in that case the faith has to come first, the spiritual has to come first, and then we have to do a lot of it. You know, I think the point was very well made, and this is kind of the point of faith. A lot of times we believe that faith is just simply saying, "Oh, God's going to take care of me." Wait a minute. There's always, see, the kind of faith we're talking about in Philippians 4:19, there's a but in there, or there's a provided, or let's do it that way. There's an if in there. Yes, God will supply all your need according to his riches and glory if, and then we could fill in a whole bunch of blanks, couldn't we? And that has to do with how we live. Look, if we want to use the money illustration, people say, "Well, you know, God's got to give me some money or I'm not going to pay my bills." Wait a minute, God's not going to give you money if you're going to go out and buy booze with it. Wow, that's like crickets in here. God's not gonna provide. You know, God may have already provided the money, but you spent it on a new TV. Went out and bought a car you shouldn't have bought. You know, a pride thing, and you're racked with payments now that you can't afford. And God did provide the money, but you spent it on something else. And you know, those are all the things that we see, and we all intuitively know that, don't we? And that's why it's harder for us to have faith in these kind of things. So, my question for you really is: when you're thinking about this thing of faith, is what kind of faith? You know, where are you at in this real faith question that we're kind of looking at? You know, let me give you. Let's see, we got a couple minutes here. All right, let me give you this. So, since we're kind of on this vein. Let me ask a trick question. I'm being very fair right up front. I'm telling you right up front it's a trick question. I don't usually. But you all know it by now, so I don't even try anymore. So here's a trick question. Which do you believe more? Which do you have a stronger faith in? The biblical laws of God or the spiritual laws of God? Let's put it that way. The spiritual laws of God or the physical laws of God? Think about it. Ben says spiritual. Which do you have more faith in? The spiritual laws of God, that'd be all the things we read about in Scripture. Which do you have? Okay, so for example, if God says, you do this and I'll do this. You know, you give and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, and give, you know, overflowing in your hands. And I can't remember the rest of the verse. You know, that kind of thing. That one. Look, I'm just telling you. I don't know the verse. I know where it's at, but and I can find it for you. But it's in there. But you know, so that would be a spiritual law. You know, where God says, "Hey, you prove me now herewith." How about that? Malachi chapter 3. Prove me now herewith. Bring ye the tithes into the storehouse and see if I don't open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you can't even hold. That kind of thing. Or the physical laws. So which do you put more faith in? Which do you think you can put more faith in? The spiritual laws or the physical laws? Everybody at home is afraid. Go ahead. Laura says the spiritual laws, you have proof.
You
ask. No, absolutely. Okay.
And God supplied, we were faithful in giving to the Lord.
Okay.
And the Lord then turned around and was faithful to us.
So at the most difficult times in your young marriage,
yeah.
you did what God said to do as far as giving to his work, and he responded in ways you never expected. Financially, and that's a wonderful testimony, and I wish everybody could have that testimony. But you know, there's only one way to get that testimony, and that's to act in faith. that's right. That's to say, okay, I'm going to do the physical first, just like Jesus did, and I'm going to believe, I'm going to trust that God will do what He says. Okay, and I think, and that's a wonderful testimony. And Laura, you got to write these things down. I keep telling you, you got to write the book, you got to record all this for everybody. All right, but now, is this where most people live? Let me put the question out here again. Which do you find it easier to put your faith in? The spiritual laws of God or the physical laws of God? Go ahead. Of course he did. Tony Searle said spiritual laws. Did he say why? Go ahead, Ben.
Romans 10:13 is spiritual.
It is. It totally is. Yeah, and I think that we should, and obviously we should, but so let me rephrase the question then, and let me just kind of challenge you, and again, I'm not trying to pick apart anything anybody's saying, but for example, we have these spiritual laws of God says, okay, well, let me do it this way. Which would you be more willing to do? Tell a lie or jump off the Empire State Building? Both of them lead to death. One is a spiritual law. One is a physical law. You follow me? See, most of us would say, okay, if I have to choose, jump off the Empire State Building, tell a lie, yeah, I'm going to jump off the Empire State Building. but I'm not, so that was a lie. Right? Because now what's the difference? See, they both lead to death, right? Does telling a lie lead to death, yes or no? Biblically, it does. You know, the Bible tells us, James chapter 1 says that sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So we know that. So both of those things lead to death. But the truth is, we would find it more convenient to put our faith in the physical law and say, I'm not going to jump off a building. Then we would, I'll tell a little lie here and there. You know, I'll tell a lie here. It's not really going to hurt anybody. It's not a big deal. Wait a minute. Which do you believe more? We're putting our faith in something, right? What we're in essence saying is God's more serious about his law of gravity than he is his law about lying. And I don't think God is. He's not more serious about it. But the consequences are very immediate, for one, as opposed to others. And I believe Proverbs talks about that. Yes. Who's at home?
Tony wanted to defend his statement by meaning spiritual. The physical laws can be altered by God. His spiritual laws are unbendable.
Oh, way to go, Tony. So Tony said, here's my defense of that since I mocked him. Sorry, Tony. He said God has set up physical laws that are just, they are what they are. He's not going to, unless he does a miracle, he's not going to violate those. But his spiritual laws, he always makes a way, I think is what he's saying. You know, he made a way. We're willing to tell the lie because we know that Jesus covered that. Even though it's wrong, and even though it's sinful, and even though there is a death penalty for that, we know that Jesus paid that penalty already. So, I did?
Yeah. He said was that the physical laws God can change.
No, he said physical laws God can't change.
The physical laws can all be altered by God. His spiritual laws are unbendable.
Oh, well, you're wrong then, Tony. Yeah, you're totally wrong on that. No, he's just wrong on that. I've lost control of this. Yeah, okay, I got you, Tony. So God is the God. Look, Jesus said, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath, and I'm also the Lord of heaven and Lord of earth. Yes, go ahead.
Sherry's was physical because you have to give to see the spiritual return. I'm not sure if that translates correctly.
Oh, that may have been the time delay thing. Yeah, and so you know, the point is this. Faith is not as simple as we make it, right? This is kind of why I wanted to start this way tonight. You know, they're both, you know, both of these kinds of faith, they're kind of a different kind of faith, aren't they? See, we put a faith in God to do what he says he'll do. We don't have as strong a faith in ourselves to do what we know we ought to do. So it's much easier to trust, to put our faith in something that's all God, as opposed to some God and some us. And that's where we've got to be careful when we think about faith and when we think about our faith personally. That's why we all have a personal faith. Remember when I said that everybody has a faith? The disciples knew this, and we're going to close out with this, and we'll go back to something that Ben mentioned earlier. Which one of these things, though, if we're going to think about this, which one of these two kinds of faith, the faith that it takes to put in God to save us, or the faith that God will meet our needs if we do what we're supposed to do, which, we know that the first one's easier, but which one builds our faith? I mean, let's be honest. Since you've been saved, if that's all you did, if all you did was trust Christ as your Savior, and that's all you did, would you ever really grow? No. Use the illustration of lifting weights earlier. Notice something his disciples said in Luke chapter 17 and verse number 5. It's the verse that precedes the verse that we looked at earlier. And the apostles said unto the Lord, notice those next three words, increase our faith. Increase our faith. Now, I don't think they really understood what they were asking. Right? Just like somebody recently told me, yeah, you know, I've been saved this many years, but if I had known how difficult some of these things would be, then I might not have made that decision. Life can be tough for a Christian. It can be very, very tough for a Christian. But the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And so we know that the kind of faith that involves some actions on our part. Listen to this and I'm done. The kind of faith that involves some actions on our part, those are the kind that grow. That's the kind of faith. You're never going to believe more, probably, that you're saved than you do right now. or that Jesus can do that. You already know he can do it. You're fully confident of that. You're not going to grow in that kind of faith ever, you know, at all, probably anymore. But what we can grow in, what Jesus was doing for his apostles here, and as we begin to study this, as we begin to apply faith in our lives, do something physical, and we will see a spiritual return. That's the key to growing faith. That's what we're going to look at for the next few weeks here on Wednesday evenings. God bless.